إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد. It's always a pleasure to welcome you, my dear brothers, sisters in Islam, in our classes. Continue tonight reading the explanation of the hadith number 29. Hadith number 29 from the hadith, the 40 hadith of Imam al-Nawawi. The explanation of our noble Shaykh, الشيخ صالح الفوزان العلامة الدكتور صالح الفوزان حفظه الله تعالى وغفر له ولوالديه وللمسلمين والمسلمات. This is a great hadith, as the Shaykh mentioned, and this is the third part. Actually, we're reading the explanation of this hadith. I'm going to read the hadith once again. عن معاذ بن جبل رضي الله عنه قال قلت يا رسول الله أخبرني بعمل يدخلني الجنة ويباعدني عن النار. قال لقد سألت عن عظيم وإنه ليسير على من يسره الله تعالى عليه. تعبد الله لا تشرك به شيئا وتقيم الصلاة وتؤتي الزكاة وتصوم رمضان وتحج البيت. ثم قال أي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ألا أدلك على أبواب الخير ألا أدلك على أبواب الخير الصوم جنة والصدقة تطفئ الخطيئة كما يطفئ الماء النار وصلاة الرجل في جوف الليل ثم تلا تتجافى جنوبهم عن المضاجع سود السجدة حتى يعملون. ثم قال ألا أخبرك برأس الأمر وعموده وذروة سنامه؟ قلت بلى يا رسول الله. قال رأس الأمر الإسلام وعموده الصلاة وذروة سنامه الجهاد. ثم قال ألا أخبرك بملاك ذلك كله؟ قلت بلى يا رسول الله. فأخذ بلسانه وقال كف عليك هذا. قلت يا نبي الله وإنا لمؤاخذون بما نتكلم به. فقال ثكلتك أمك يا معاذ وهل يكب الناس في النار على وجوههم أو قال على مناخرهم إلا حصائد ألسنتهم؟ رواه الترمذي وقال حديث حسن صحيح. On the authority of Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu, he said, just this one. I said, O Messenger of Allah, so now this is a companion. This is a companion of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa radiallahu anhu. A companion asking the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, O Messenger of Allah, tell me of an act which will take me into paradise and will keep me away from hellfire. And based on this, Shaykh Salah al-Fawzan said, now you know how important this question is. SubhanAllah, this request that Mu'adh has asked the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because the Shaykh Fawzan, in the beginning of the explanation of this hadith, he says, this is our goal. There is not a person, a Muslim, except he wants to be in Jannah, and he will be away from the hellfire. So the Prophet ﷺ said to him, you have asked me about a major matter, yet it is easy for him, for Allah, for whom Allah Almighty makes it easy. You should worship Allah, associating nothing with Him in worship. Perform the prayers, pay the zakat, fast in Ramadan, and make the hajj. Then the Prophet ﷺ said to Mu'adh, shall I not show you the gates of goodness? Then he said to him, fasting, which is a shield, charity, which extinguishes sin as war extinguishes fire, and the praying of a man in the depths of the night, meaning tahajjud prayers. The night prayer. And then the Prophet ﷺ recited the ayat in Surah Al-Sajda. Allah praising the believers and the righteous. They are those who forsake their beds, to cry unto their Lord in fear and hope, and spend of what we have bestowed on them. No soul know what is kept hidden for them of joy, as a reward for what they used to do. And the Prophet ﷺ said to Mu'ad, shall I not tell you of the peak of the matter, its pillar, and its topmost parts? I said, yes, O Messenger of Allah. He said, the peak of the matter is Islam. The pillar is prayer, and its topmost part is jihad. And the Prophet ﷺ said to Mu'ad, shall I not tell you of the controlling of all that? And that's where we're going to start today, tonight, alhamdulillah, because until this point, we have already, alhamdulillah, read the explanation. And we're going to take it from this part when the Prophet ﷺ said to Mu'ad, shall I not tell you of the controlling of all that? I said, yes, O Messenger of Allah. And the Prophet ﷺ took hold of his tongue and said, restrain this, guard this, meaning the tongue. Mu'ad said, O Prophet of Allah, will what we say be held against us? The Messenger ﷺ said, may your mother be bereaved of you. Or some also is translated as, may your mother lose you. The Sheikh is going to explain to us what does it mean. It is not a dua against him. And he said to him, is there anything that topples people on their faces, or he said, on their noses, into her fire, other than the harvests of their tongues? This hadith is related by Imam al-Tirmidhi, who said it is Hassan Sahih. So we're going to take it from the statement of the Prophet ﷺ when he said to Mu'ad radiallahu anhu, أَلَا أُخْبِرُكَ بِمَلَاكِ ذَلِكَ كُلِّهِ قُلْتُ بَلَا يَا نَبِيَ اللَّهِ فَأَخَذَ بِلِسَانِهِ قَالَ كُفَّ عَلَيْكَ هَذَا. When the Prophet ﷺ gave Mu'ad all these good advices that are for us too, that we have to learn Islam and practice the pillars of Islam, and also we have to, which is to fulfill what Allah has made obligatory upon us, and then to try our best to increase in the optional acts of worship, whether prayers, fasting, sadaqah and the like, hajj and umrah and the like. Now the Prophet ﷺ, he told him, shall I not inform you of the controlling of all that? All of these actions, these good actions. Mu'ad, of course, he said, of course, O Messenger of Allah, I want to know. So the Prophet ﷺ, he took hold of his tongue and he says, guard this one. Control, have control of this one, meaning your tongue. قال الشيخ صالح الفوزان حفظه الله إذا عملت هذه الأعمال فاحذر مما يبطلها. سبحان الله. So the Prophet ﷺ is telling Mu'ad bin Jabal radiallahu anhu, since he asked about things that allow him to enter Jannah, if he does these things, will enter Jannah and will be away from the hellfire. So the Prophet ﷺ tell him the things that lead to the Jannah. But at this moment, Shaykh Salah al-Fawzan, he says that the Prophet ﷺ, now he's telling him, if you do these things that I tell you, then you have to be aware of other things that make them void. You gotta be aware of that. If you fall into it, it will make you lose these actions. It will make you lose the reward of these actions. قَالَ وَأَعْضَمُ مَا يَقْدِعَ الْأَعْمَالِ الصَّالِحَ الْلِسَانِ. He says, from the things that take away the reward that the person earned by performing righteous actions, the greatest of that is the tongue, subhanAllah. Is the tongue. Person does a lot of actions. Fast, sadaqah, hajj, umrah, charity, this, that, tahajjud. Then he will be losing those actions and those reward and those good deeds because of the tongue. بماذا قال بالكلام الفاحش؟ والغيبة والنميمة وشهادة الزور وغير ذلك، فهذا يبطل الأعمال ويأتي عليها. سبحان الله. He says how? By that person using his tongue, or that person she use her tongue by saying that which is not pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're not using their tongue properly in that which brings the benefit, but rather they use it in the haram. And the Shaykh gave an example, sense of riba, backbiting, tail carrying, witnessing falsehood and the like. So this is things that make a person lose his good deeds. Those good deeds that the person earned by performing righteous actions. But these actions of the tongue, like riba, backbiting, slander, abusing the people, lies, falsehood, witnessing falsehood, this make a person lose his deeds. قال لأن الأعمال تذهب مع المظلومين الذين تكلمت فيهم أو عليهم حيث يقتصون يوم القيامة من حسناتك فتصبح مفلسا لأنهم يأخذونها بمظالمهم. He said, the Shaykh explained to us how a person who fast, pray, make hajj, zakat, fasting, not only those obligatory acts, he also make the options, the sunnah of the salat, tahajjud, he give charity, umrah, all this, but still he's going to be bankrupt on Yawm al-Qiyamah. How? He says, by this person not using his tongue properly, and all those people he has wronged in this life, he will face them on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And they will take from his good deeds. The matter is a khatir jiddan, is very dangerous, the akhwan, in a serious. Person work hard, do all these good actions, but still he's going to lose them on Yawm al-Qiyamah. To who? To those people he used to slander, to backbite, to abuse. And this occurs in a hadith. The Shaykh didn't mention the hadith, but this occurs in a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, when once he asked the Sahaba, أَتَدْرُونَ مَا الْمُفْلِسِ؟ قَالُوا اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَعْلَمُ. Prophet ﷺ, he asked the Sahaba once, do you know who's the muflis, the bankrupt? They say Allah and His Messenger know best. Then the Prophet ﷺ, he tells them that the muflis, no, actually the Sahaba, they says, am. I apologize. The Sahaba, they says, the muflis, the bankrupt, is the one who doesn't have no property, no money. The Prophet ﷺ said, no, no, no. The bankrupt of my ummah, he is that person who will come on Yawm al-Qiyamah with a lot of good deeds. Because he used to do good deeds. He used to pray, he used to fast, he used to do charity and the like. But in the same time, he backbited this one, slandered this one, abused this one, take the wealth of this one, shed the blood of this one, abuse the honor of this one. قَالَ فَيُعْطِي هَذَا مِنْ حَسَنَاتِهِ وَهَذَا مِنْ حَسَنَاتِهِ. And the matters and disputes on Yawm al-Qiyamah are settled only through good deeds and bad deeds. No money, no apologies. People not going to say, I'm sorry. No, people, they're going to want the hasanat. So now this person has good deeds. So he will say, okay, take. They will take from his good deeds. Then another person come and take from his good deeds. Then another, according to that person, because he has backbited so many people, has wronged in this life so many people, until he run out of good deeds. He has no more. Not even one to give to a person. Then that person will say to him, okay, since you don't have any good deeds to give, or sure you can take some of bad deeds from mine. And he will be dragged in his face to the hellfire, subhanAllah. It's Allah as-salamu al-amiyah. The Shaykh says these people, they will take this person's good deeds because he has wronged them in this life. That's why the ulama, they cite us that if in the like of the ayahs and the ahadith that talks about this matter, that if you wrong anyone, try to make it up for them in this life. talk to them, ask them to forgive you. If they forgive you, it's good for you. If they don't, that's a big problem. Big problem for you in Yawm al-Qiyamah. So that's why we have to apply these ahadith and these ayats. And we should guard our tongue, because Shaykh ibn Baz, he says the tongue is a very small flesh. لكن كثيرة الحركة. He moves easy. Look, your body is big, but you cannot move fast. You know, you're sitting here, if you want to hit somebody, he has to be close to you. You can't hit someone in Alabama right now. You just can't. But you can backway someone in Japan, not just in Alabama, right now, at this moment. You see how dangerous the tongue is? You don't have to travel. From now, a person sitting in his bed, talking about the people. Especially now, al-iyadu billah, backbiting is even takes so many forms now, with the Twitter and the Facebook and WhatsApp and this and that, and text messengers. So you have to be careful, ya akhwan. قال الشيخ فإذا أردت أن تبقى لك أعمالك وحسناتك فأمسك لسانك عن الكلام السيء فهو خطير جدا. He says, now since you work hard for your deeds, okay, alhamdulillah, you pray, you fast, zakat, hajj, sadaqah, which is good things, but you want to keep them? You want to benefit with these deeds on Yawm al-Qiyamah? Guard your tongue. You want to benefit? You want to see these good deeds and benefit? They benefit you on Yawm al-Qiyamah? Guard your tongue and keep and stay away from saying bad things. Okay, no backbiting, don't backbite people, don't lie, don't slander, don't abuse, don't witness falsehood, don't speak with no knowledge. Be patient. Adorn yourself with the manners of Islam, patience, forbearance, forgiveness, ease. The Shaykh says, فَالْأَمْرُ خَطِيرٌ جِدًّا. The tongue can be very dangerous. And that's true, ya akhwat. The ulama, they mention when they talk about the tongue, and so how many divorces took place just because of that statement he said or she said? No. Not just divorces. Communities. Turmoil. Chaos. Problems. Fighting. Because of what? The tongue. See what's going on in Muslim countries right now. How did it start? Huh? Tongue. Those wicked and ignorant khutaba in Jumu'ah, they start talking with no knowledge. And before you know it, people out in the streets and getting killed, and a lot of chaos is happening. Sometimes two friends, they were friends for a long time. They care about one another. Before you know it, they are enemies now. They don't talk to each other. Why? You look at it. One thing he said or the other one said. ثم قال قوله فقلت يا نبي الله وإنا لمؤاخذون بما نتكلم به. When the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said to Mu'adh, control your tongue, guard your tongue, restrict your tongue. Mu'adh, he was amazed and he says, are we going to be held accountable of what we say? Allah is going to hold us accountable according to our statements? تعجب معاذ رضي الله عنه لأن الكلام سهل على الناس ألسنتهم دائما تشتغل وتتكلم فهل هذا يؤثر على أعمال الناس ويؤاخذون به أو على أعمال الإنسان ويؤاخذ به؟ شيخ صالح الفوزاني says معاذ رضي الله عنه he was amazed because he knows people talks a lot. He says, and it's easy for the people to talk. That's the most easiest thing you can do. Some people don't even get tired talking. They can get tired riding, running, even walking, standing. They get tired doing pretty much anything. When it comes to talking, they keep going. He says, that's what people do, he says. So, what we say, is it gonna be against us and held against us? فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ثكلتك أمك يعني فقدتك أمك Prophet ﷺ said to Mu'adh, and the Prophet ﷺ, he loves Mu'adh, because he told him once, I love you, Mu'adh. He loves him and he loves his companions. But he said to him, may your mother lose you. قَالَ هَذَا أَصْلُهُ دُعَاءٌ بِالْهَلَكِ. He says, when you look at this, literally, this is a dua against him, you know, may your mother lose you. You see? وَلَكِنْ جَرَى عَلَى لِسَانٍ غَيْرَ قَصْرٍ. But, however, at that time, they used to say it, okay, with the tongue, but they don't intend its true and real meaning. You see? That's just something they say it. But they don't intend the real meaning of it. Okay? It's not like he says, may your mother lose you, that he's making dua against him, that he be lost or something like that. ثم قال له رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وهل يكب الناس في النار على وجوههم أو قال على مناخرهم إلا حصائد وساتهم. Then the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم explained to him the matter, how is dangerous, the matter of the tongue. Since Mu'adh, he was amazed. Really, our statements are that important and that dangerous for us that will be held against our statements, accountable of what we say. Then the Prophet ﷺ, he said to him, and what really lead the people, what is the thing that lead the people the most in the hellfire on their faces or on their noses, other than the harvest of their tongues, subhanAllah, other than that which they say with their tongues. فَهَذَا فِيهِ خَطَرُ اللِّسَانِ وَخَطَرُ الْكَلَامِ. He says, this we take from this, that the tongue is very dangerous. I know. And speech can be very dangerous. Talking can be very dangerous for the person. فَقَدْ يَتَكَلَّمُ الْإِنسَانِ بِالشِّرْكُ وَالْكُفْرُ وَيَخْرِمُ الْإِسْلَامِ. Shaykh now is going to give detail. He says, because a person may make a statement of kufr and shirk and exit Islam. He's not a Muslim anymore. She's not a Muslim anymore. Just by things they say. قَدْ يَسُبُّ الدِّينِ. A person, he may abuse the religion. قَدْ يَسُبُّ الرَّسُولِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ. He may abuse the messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. Slander the religion, slander the messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ. قَدْ يَسْتَهْزِئُ بِالدِّينِ فَيَخْرُجُ الْإِسْلَامِ. A person may make a statement making fun of Islam, mocking the deen, and that caused that person to exit Islam. Sometimes people, they make fun of the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. They make a sunnah of the hijab. They see a woman in hijab, they make fun of her, a ninja. Where are you coming from? These are Muslims. Some of them are Muslims. They see the woman dressed properly, covered, they call her names. Here is a ninja, and here is this, here is that. Go back to where you're coming from. Where you bring all this? And they say statement that I can't even say with my tongue. What about those who يسبون الله والعياذ بالله, slander even Allah, the name of Allah والعياذ بالله. People make fun of the lihya. Somebody grow his beard, they make fun of him. This is making fun of the deen. Because the person, that woman dressed like that because she is ordered by Allah. And she's ordered by the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah is the one who legislated the hijab. So them making fun of the hijab is making fun of Islam. And the one who grow his beard because he's commanded by Allah and by his Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So when someone come and make, go shave this, what they call? They call this, A'udhu billah. They say, Wallahi, I can't even say those names. They don't just say, go shave your beard. They said, go get that dirt out of your face. No, people are, subhanAllah, they only know what they say. Making fun of what Allah has legislated. Making making fun of many things. You tell him this is the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah. He says, yeah, come on, man. Sunnah in here. What are you talking about? Take that stuff away from here. Audubillah. Sometimes he's a Muslim talking like this. Wal-iyadubillah. See, he said, the Shaykh, he gave an example. يستهزئ بالدين فيخرج من الإسلام وقد يقول كلمة الكفر وهي خفيفة على اللسان ولكنها تذهب أعماله ويصبح كافرا. A person, he may make a statement of kufr, statement of disbelief, so easy on the tongue, and it will remove that person. That one statement may remove that person out of Islam. I know, people, they be talking about democracy is better than Islam. You see? Democracy, some people, in those riots and in those demonstrations, they have even slogans and banners. They want democracy. Well, democracy is shirk. So now they want shirk over Islam? There's a lot of statements of al-'iyadu billah, people, they do, and they don't pay attention to. And those statements may be statements of kufr. That's for the ulama, alhamdulillah, and for the students of knowledge, who they know, they have knowledge and firm, they're the ones that deal with these matters. But we will learn to guard our tongues. And before we speak, let us be careful, let us say that which is pleasing to Allah. قُلْ خَيْرًا أَوْ اسْمُتْ يَا أَخِي. Say what is good for you, or be quiet. Don't have to talk. Now you find people, they gathering over food, over tea, start talking about, I don't know. You say, hey, what happened? It takes one person to say, hey, any news on Egypt or Syria? Or, and before you know it, they start backbiting everybody. They start with the rulers, and from the rulers they go to the ulama. From the ulama they go to each other, and turns to be fighting one another. Why? You have nothing to say? You're tired of reading the Quran? They said, alhamdulillah, you read what you read every day. You say the adhkar, and you say subhanallah, alhamdulillah, and all that. Well, okay, now you don't want to say nothing, be quiet. Don't switch the channel to be saying things against you. قَالَ وَقَدْ يَتَكَلَّمْ بِالْغِيبَ وَالنَّمِيمَ وَهُمَا كَبِيرَتَانِ مِنْ كَبِيرَ الذُّنُوبِ. And a person may not make statements of kufr, but still he may and make a statement that is considered from the major sins. Like al-ghiba and namima. Al-ghiba, backbiting, that become the favorite snack for so many people. Pistachios are right there, and almonds and cookies, but they want to eat the flesh of others. That's what they want to do. They get together, well, guess what? Well, you see him, akhi, he didn't do that. Women too, they get together. Are you serious? She's still wearing the same shoes of 3 years ago. Talking bad about the people eating their flesh. Change your diet. That's a bad diet right there. So the Shaykh says, person may fall into this major sin, backbiting. Or he may go to that person, tell him, oh, you see what this person said to you? Oh, watch for him. Namima. To bring chaos and turmoil between the people of Allah. وَقَدْ يَتَكَلَّمْ بِشَهَادَةِ الزُّورِ وَهِيَ غَلِيدَ وَشَدِيدَ. A person may witness falsehood. He says, yes, it's happened, but it never happened. He was living there. He's not sure whatsoever. It's amazing. Even a kafir policeman, man, when he stops somebody, he will tell him, look, what the police said, what the officer usually said to the person when they want to take him to the post. What did it tell them? You have the right one? To remain silent. Why? Why they tell them that? They give him the reason of this. Because everything you say can and will be used against you. And some people, they understand, they don't say nothing. They say something, now I'm a lawyer. Some people don't care. They keep talking and make it worse for themselves. Now when they stand in front of the judge, what they say? I didn't hear, no, I didn't say nothing. No, you did. But we have Islam, alhamdulillah. We have Islam, we have the ayats, we have the ahadith like this one, we have this beautiful explanation of our noble scholar that we should connect ourselves to them and read from their books and be with the one who connect us to the ulama. كذلك يحلف ويكثر من الأيمان ومنها اليمون الغموس التي تغمي الصاحب في النار. Another example the Shaykh says, from the evil of the tongue that we have to be careful from is that swearing a lot. Some people they just swear on anything. Wallahi, wallahi, la. Say the truth and that's it. Nobody asks you to swear, don't swear. Some people become a habit, they swear on anything. And they may even swear on something that is a lie, wal'iyadu billah, and that's very dangerous. قال إذا استعملت هذا اللسان في الكلام الطيب أثمر لك سبحان الله. He said, but now look, if you use this tongue, tongue is a ni'mah from Allah. It's a ni'mah from Allah. You use it for the things that will benefit you in Yawm al-Qiyamah. That will bring you fruits that you will enjoy and it will work for you in Yawm al-Qiyamah, such as tasbih, tahleel, takbir, tilawat al-Qur'an, dhikr Allah. Sense, subhanAllah, yes. Now, you're around people, you're riding with certain people in the same van, you're going somewhere or in a car, you don't have to talk about Kobe and his people. Why? What benefit? Say, subhanAllah, alhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, astaghfirullah. Somebody asks you a question, akhi, is this the exit? No, next one. That's it. Answer them, next one, and keep. La ilaha illallah, subhanAllah, alhamdulillah. Akhi, are you guys hungry? We stop here to eat. Alright, inshallah, it's fine with me, mashallah. Alright, what do you guys like? Seafood, what do you want? Pizza, what? It's okay with me. Yes.
I like waffles.
Huh?
I like waffles.
Waffles? I get you some next time, inshallah. Rahman like waffles. Can you say you have that conversation with your brothers? Because if you ride with the people, it's not like you don't talk. And then the people asking you a question, Akhi, I'm remembering Allah. No, you with the people. And you're going to understand these things, man. You're with the people, you talk to them. You're with your family, you talk to your family. And then once you finish that conversation, go back to the remembrance of Allah. You know. القرآن تلاوة القرآن إذا استعملته في الكلام السيء أهلكك ووقعك في النار وأنت لا تدري. نعم الشيخ says, but if you use your tongue in the evil way by talking falsehood and saying bad things, the Shaykh, he mentioned some examples, that tongue of yours will destroy you. أي نعم will lead you to your ruin and destruction and you may not even know. Some person, he think like, man, alhamdulillah, he's salafi, that. But he may be going on the brink of destruction, don't even know, because of his tongue. And the Shaykh gave an example. He says, فَقَدْ يُصَلِ الْإِنسَانِ فِي اللَّيْلِ وَيَصُومُ وَيَعْمَلْ أَعْمَالَ الصَّالِحَةِ وَلَكِنَّهُ يَجْلِسُ وَيُغْتَابُ النَّاسِ وَيَتَكَلَّمُ فِيهِمْ فَذْهَبُ حَسَنَاتُهُ. He says that, you may find a person, he stand up on night prayer, tahajjud. Now, this person, he get up at night and pray tahajjud. And he fast the days, those optional days, whether it be Mondays or Tuesdays or Thursdays or 3 days out of a month. But what he doing? What he doing also with his tongue? Backbiting people. You see? And he be losing his good deeds. إِمَّا أَنَّهُ يُبْتِلُهَا بِكَلِمَةِ الْكُفْرِ وَالشِّرْكِ وَالِاسْتِهِزَاءِ وَالسُّخْرِيَةِ بِالدِّينِ وإما أنه لا يبطلها ولكن يأخذها المظلومون منه يوم القيامة بسبب حصائد اللسان. Said نعم. Person who does actions, pray, fast, Hajj. Not only the obligatory acts, but also the Shaykh has given example. This person make tahajjud. He fasts optional fasts. But all this will be void. Subhanallah. How? By making a statement of kufr or shirk, by mocking the deen, making fun of the religion, wal'iyadu billah. Or his deeds might not be void, he still have his deeds, he will see them inshallah on Yawm al-Qiyamah, but that's when he's going to lose his deeds. To who? to those he has oppressed with his tongue in Yawm al-Qiyamah, subhanAllah, in this dunya. See? He has good deeds, he's going to see them for what he did in this life, but he's going to lose them. Those deeds not going to benefit that person. Why? He has nothing to do with him being black or white, Arab, non-Arab, rich or poor, nothing. Has to do with one thing, that person, he didn't control his tongue. He was talking bad, backbiting people, slandering them, abusing them, lying against them, namima, this and that, wal'iyadu billah, and he will lose his good deeds by giving it to them. قال فاللسان خطير جدا. And the Shaykh says the tongue is very dangerous. It's not easy. ولهذا حذر منه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. He said, for this reason, Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم warned us against this disuse of the tongue. فيجب على المسلم أن يحذر من الكلام ولا يتكلم إلا بحق. He says, so therefore, based on this, it is incumbent upon the Muslim who wants good for himself. When any Muslim talks, he talks only with haqq, with the truth, and nothing but the truth. So if a person come to me or come to you and try to talk to you about this brother or backbite or gives or cause a fitna, tell him, أخي, اتق الله في لسانك. يا أخي, you want to lose your deeds? No, I don't want to lose my deeds. Okay, well, this is what you doing, make you lose your deeds in Yawm al-Qiyamah, يا أخي. Don't backbite. You want to talk to me about the brother? Did you talk to him? Oh, no. Go talk to him, أخي. Why are you talking to him? If you really want to give advice and sincere, go talk to the brother. That's your brother. He's a Muslim. Go talk to him. Here's his number. Call him. You don't even have to go to him. You don't have time here. Just give him a call. You don't even want to talk to him, send him a text message. See how easy it is? But it's like the Shaykh says, it's easy for those that Allah has made it easy for them. You see how? The Prophet ﷺ, he said to Mu'ad, that it's only easy for those that Allah made it easy for them. Some people, subhanAllah, if they don't talk, it's a problem. Now we have to learn and apply. That's why we have, the reason we have these classes is for us. Every one of us, while we're conducting these classes, including myself, let us pay attention to these advices, the ulama, in the light of this ahadith, these noble narrations, and the ayats from the Quran. Let every one of us see, if I have anything, if the Shaykh, he says, look, this hadith warned us against this, it's for me, I'm like, wait a minute, I'm doing that. I be talking sometimes. So that's not a good thing. Salman al-Farisi, radiallahu anhu, a man came to him, he know him, he's one of the companions, he says, Awsini, so give me advice, you're a companion. He said, La tatakallam, don't talk. He said, no, look at the advice. He said, don't talk. But the man said to him, how can I not talk? I live amongst people. Then he said to him, say the truth or be silent. That's it. In another narration, he said to him, Aqlilil kalam. When you talk, just talk a little bit. And they mentioned that once, Ibn Sirin, radiallahu anhu, people, they were in his gathering, they were talking, and he said to them, be quiet. Talking. SubhanAllah. And that was in the evening. He said to them, if you want me to tell you what I said the whole day exactly, I will tell you. Exactly. The same words I said the whole day, I will tell you. Because people are busy with the remembrance of Allah, ya. A person, man, he talks, 2 minutes later he tell him, you said this, he lied. What? He swears, Wallahi, I didn't say it. Yeah, but you just said it. Now 5 people heard you. You see? You have to use the tongue in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قَلْ لَا يَتَكَلَّمْ إِلَّا فِي كَلَامٍ يُحْتَاجُ إِلَيْهِ وَيُفِيدُهُ لِدِينِهِ وَدُنْيَاهِ. Now you want to talk? Talk, same things that will benefit you in this life and in the hereafter. Anything that is beneficial for you, for your life also, in your dunya, yes, you talk about it. Your business, your job, school, your car. You're going to talk to a mechanic. It's not like you're going to drive to a mechanic. Mechanic says, what's wrong with the car? You're like, subhanAllah, alhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah. No, you're going to tell him, look, man, I hear some noise, some problems. You talk to him. If he says, okay, man, We can take care of it right now, it's going to take 45 minutes. You want to wait? Oh yeah, there's a chair. Well, sit on that chair, and instead to bother the mechanic, hey, what's going on? Start talking about sports while you're working in your car. No, just remember Allah. Let him do his job and do yours. SubhanAllah, I remember right now one of the Salaf, forget his name. If I find it, I will share with you the name. He said that he was at the barber. He was at the barber, and the barber is cutting his hair, and he's remembering Allah. He says when he gets to trimming his mustache, this alim from the Salaf, he's still remembering Allah. The barber says, would you stop so I can cut? He said, look, do your things, I'm doing mine. He said, go ahead, man, do what you gotta do, because I gotta do this. Remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. SubhanAllah. But the people when they go to the barber, what do they talk about? Usually. Huh? Hassan. Me neither. Who goes to the barbers? Usually what do they talk about, Tariq?
Everything.
Anything and everything. That it's actually, they say it, if you want to hear anything, go to the barber shop. They talk about anything. But you're a Muslim. If you had to go to the barber, you don't have to. Alhamdulillah, Allah made it easy now, man. You get yourself, what do you call it?
Clippers
and do it. Alhamdulillah. You don't have to look nice and cool. Alhamdulillah. You're going to put a kufi on it anyway. Alright? So you do it yourself. Save yourself $15, $20 and being in that environment. But just in case if you have to go, then remember Allah. They tell you, oh, come on, brother, man, you see the game yesterday? You don't even talking to him. Now, if he's not talking, if he don't get an answer from you, he's going to talk to somebody else. But if you're the only one, he's going to say, you're not talking to me? No, 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 no disrespect. I'm busy doing something else. What do you mean, doing what? I'm remembering Allah. He may be Muslim. Some barbers are Muslim, don't have no clue what's going on. So you're remembering Allah. So what we doing here, you think is wrong, brother? You want to talk now or another time? Finish the man and we talk. And then you explain to them, say, yes, the Prophet said this, Allah said this. And you give da'wah, alhamdulillah. Not we get involved with them. We try to get them to our side. Not we go to their side. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, salatu wassalam, rasulullah, ba'd. So our noble Shaykh, hafidhahullah, and walid al-doktor al-allama, Salih al-Fawzani says, he's giving us this very important advice in the light of this hadith, explanation of this hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, said that when you're about to speak, say that which is beneficial for you. Speak the truth, speak the haqq. The haqq is always good. Don't just talk, keep talking. Anything that is beneficial for you, look at it. You look at what's beneficial for you in your religion and in your dunya as well. Now, things that are good for your earning and your living, now you take care of that too. وَاتْرُكْ فُضُولَ الْكَلَامِ الَّذِي لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْهُ فَائِدَةٍ. So likewise, the believer, the Muslim, things that doesn't concern him, he leave it alone. Why a Muslim talk about the heat? Are they going to win the championship or not? Are they going to go back to back? Why? Why a Muslim talk about the Yankees or talk about the Braves? Is there any benefit? No benefit. Why talking about it then? Talk about things that benefit you. Rather, you find Muslims now, they get into it and fight one another because of kuffar, because of a ball game, waliyadu billah. The Shaykh says, thing that doesn't concern you, there is no benefit in it for you, don't talk about it. Leave it alone. He says, so if this is the case, so what about those who speak haram in a haram way, by backbiting people, lying, slandering, abusing others, belittling others, making fun, and looking down at others, and of course, this is something that the Muslim should stay away from. Because this is a very dangerous. Very dangerous. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, these are the most things that lead the people to the fire on their faces or on their head and their noses, is what they earn with their tongues. So the one who is quiet actually is good. Silence is a good thing. And the ulama, they say, when they talk about silence, they say silence is a good quality. To be silent. Because that person who's silent, he just looks like he's silent to the people, but he's Imam bin Allah. His tongue is still rolling, but people don't see it. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, astaghfirullah, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Whether he's reading from the Mus'haf or he's reviewing his memorization, he's walking, when he's doing his shopping, he goes to Walmart and he's still, subhanallah, he's looking for the cereal, he's looking for the butter, he's looking for this or that, but he's remembering Allah. La ilaha illallah, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, astaghfirullah. He's memorizing his surah and the ayah, repeating it, the hadith that he's memorizing, he's repeating it. Same ways, the women, if they are at home, she's reading the laundry, she's putting the dishes in the dishwasher, she's running the vacuum, or she's helping her babies, she's cooking, whatever she's doing, she's remembering Allah, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, and she's not talking. And that's what's going to help us. Barakallahu feekum, sallallahu alayhi wa lakum al-thabata ala deen. Then the Shaykh, he finished this hadith by explaining why Imam al-Tirmidhi rahimahullah said this hadith is Hassan and Sahih. First of all, he says Imam al-Tirmidhi is one of the great a'imma of Islam, of hadith. He's one of the main students of Imam Ahmad and Imam Bukhari. He's one of the students of Imam Ahmad and Imam Bukhari. And his book of hadith, Sunan, is one of the four Sunan. When you hear Sunan al-Arba'ah, the four Sunans, along with Sunan al-Nasa'i and Abu Dawood and Ibn Majah. He says, and he was blind too, rahimahullah. He says, how the hadith be Hasan and Sahih in the same time? He says, because usually we know that the hadith, Sahih, Hasan, Da'if, sound, good, and weak. He says he was the first one, Imam al-Tirmidhi, he was the first one who used this terminology to say hadith Hasan Sahih. Because before him, the ulama, they say Sahih, Da'if, whether the hadith is Sahih or is Da'if. But him, he introduced this terminology, which is Hasan. That is one grade below the sound hadith. And what makes it such? He has the same conditions. Because for a hadith to be sahih, he has to fulfill five conditions. One of them is dabtur rawi. One of those conditions is that the narrator has to be dabi, meaning his memorization has to be sound or strong. Has to be strong. He has no slight doubts. What make a Hassan, you know, lose one grade from Sahih to Hassan, that Rawi, he's not that strong. Yani khifa to Dr. Rawi. His memorization is not very strong. That's what makes his hadith to be Hassan, not Sahih. Okay? وصلى الله وسلم على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا